typical! Montreal typical!
To borrow a phrase from the Sens Underground, I think it's safe to say that Sens Army has a lot of rage! But we're channeling it through Studio 61 today during episode 75 of the Sens Call-Ups for Saturday, April 18th, 2015. Earlier this week, it was a land of milk and honey. We were happy during our recording. The Sens Underground reunion was a happy time. Now it's not so much. We're in a war, and the injuries are starting. The Sens are in the playoffs, but they're playing not only against the Montreal Canadiens, but also against the NHL officiating and player safety offices. We've got lots to say, and some of it might even survive Canucks editing work. Quick reminders, the website and online forums are senscallups.com. The email address is podcast@senscallups.com. The waiver wire is 844-SCU-6565. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. And most importantly, we have a guest with us today who might be a little bit more angry than he was earlier this week. Welcome back, Russell. I hope you brought your rage.
You didn't hear that in your ear the whole time?
I tuned it out.
I'm so pissed.
Well, hold on. Why are we Studio 61 again?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
I don't know, because I forgot to, because I said 61, mostly just out of dedication to Mark Stone. I know we're all back together, so we should be 65. But
so we are a fractured studio.
We're standing together with
Boo! Player 61. Boo, get out!
Holy crap, man.
Well, this is a really good start. Like
thanks for having me, guys.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah,
it's good to be back. I figured I was in the groove, you know, because I got back into it. I might as well squeeze one more out here.
Share a little rage.
Sure.
Yeah, slightly different mood than it was earlier in the week.
I think there's gonna be a lot of rage. How are you? You feeling better?
Somewhat. I slept all day.
Oh, okay. And you've got a cold now?
Yeah, just today came down with one.
Seems to be going around the table, so awesome. I'm feeling mostly okay. I can actually talk this week, unlike 2 weeks ago where my voice was sounding like I was gargling Drano.
Russell's still draining that ice cap.
There's a beer sitting in front of you, which might be a little tastier for you. It's up to you, though.
No, there's still a little
it's
in the bottom
beer.
There.
Especially when we're playing against the Montréal Canadiens, you bring me La Bat 50.
It's not a Molson product. Hello.
I know, but this is as deep, dark Quebec as you get.
It's not Monsieur. A Molson product. It's not a Molson product.
I can't believe. It's like he actually drinks the world's only extinct beer.
And it's delicious.
I haven't had this since I was like 12, stealing them from my friend's father's garage.
It'll taste a lot better now.
All right. Going to give it a try, but no guarantees.
Yeah, let's get going.
Game on!
Game 83. Oh, sorry. Game one of the playoffs. The Senators were in Montreal. This was a 4-3 loss, but the score really isn't what we want to talk about from this game now, is it?
Well, wait, what was the score?
I just said it. 4-3 loss.
Oh, I didn't want to talk about it.
What we really want to talk about is the butt end that Mika Zibanejad took to the face.
Yeah,
that,
that's one.
That wasn't, nobody's talking about. And that was not, there was no penalty on it or anything like that.
Well, it didn't get him in the face. It was more in the throat.
Oh, well, yeah, that's so much better. Yeah.
Wasn't there a high stick that the linesman called back? on Pajot.
Yes, that
was. Yeah, that was a game changer right there.
That wasn't a high stick. That was the puck that hit him in the face. It wasn't the stick that hit him in the face. No, the thing we really want to talk about is the Markov own goal that put the Senators up 1-0. That was really the central point of this game, wasn't it?
No, I think so.
Are you done trolling?
How about when Gallagher ran over Hammett?
Which time?
After the second goal.
Oh, after the second goal, because he ran over him after the first one, too, I believe. Yeah.
Can't lose track of when those things happen.
Right? That's not that interesting.
I was watching this game at a big sports bar, kind of like the Real Sports in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Set up like that in Halifax. And I'd say 80% of people are Habs fans.
Figure.
Yeah. Ugh.
So that was fun for you, was it?
It was fun.
No, of course, we want to talk about the PK. It wasn't really that bad a slash on Mark Stone, and he's faking it, and everything else should have,
That's a PK taking his lumberjack.
Oh, I was going to say. Sounds like an axe.
Or a staple gun.
No, that would be something like that.
Oh, clearly. Clearly. So, microfracture to the wrist. He came back to the game and then went out and came back and went in. And, of course, everybody.
They were totally freezing his hand, too.
Oh, yeah. He was having ice put on it and freezing it and everything else, just trying to play. And I give him credit. I fully give him credit for trying to play the rest of the game.
No, he's a wuss.
I kind of wish he hadn't.
Faker.
Yeah.
Faker.
Because I knew that was going to come out. I knew that that's what was going to come out if he came back and played
it's
in the rest of the game.
It's unbelievable as to how the Montreal fans will complain about diving.
When they have the player who's been fined the most in the league? Who perpetrated this particular act, might I add?
They boo when anyone's touched.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
They scream when one of their own forecheckers goes down because they're 5'9" and they went up against Greiba, and Greiba shrugs them off like, you know, oh, excuse me, get out of my way.
Well, oh, that should be a penalty.
Greiba can actually stop them.
Okay, look, everything about that Mark Stone getting his slash incident was just pure garbage. Take your mind off the actual slash. Think about the lead up to it. So in the lead up, if you go back and watch the video, there's a face-off. Brandon Prust skates across center ice as the puck's going back to the blue line, and he bumps into, I can't remember the Ottawa player, and he does a complete dive, which gets missed. They're already on the power. So he's trying to draw an even up call. The puck is at the blue line, so there's that dive. The puck's at the blue line when the chop happens from Subban on Mark Stone.
Right in front of the goal.
So the puck, it's not even like a battle for the puck where you're like, oh, shoot, you know, I'm trying to hit the stick, and yeah, maybe I, you know, doing the, you know, there's a lot of forechecking where people take slashes and stuff, but this was just, the puck wasn't even in the zone.
And he choked up. His hands were almost together. It was almost a baseball swing. Like, it wasn't, I mean, or an axe swing when your hands are together. It wasn't a hockey play because your hands aren't together when you're holding your stick, a hockey stick.
And then after the fact, you got PK jumping up and down like a little kid going, what did I do?
You can't be giving me a penalty.
I just misunderstood.
Like, and then the same thing when he hit Pajot on the head. What did I do?
I didn't do anything. You shouldn't be giving me a penalty.
And the referees kick him out, and he still won't get off. Like, get off the ice.
For me, it's PK's not the first guy to try to injure a player in the playoffs. He's not the first guy. He won't be the last. Okay. He did it on purpose. He aimed. He knew who he was slashing. He knew exactly where he was going, right above the cuff on our top scorer's wrist hand. He knew what he was doing. So you can argue whether or not he meant to do it. If you're a Habs fan, you'll say he didn't. If you're anyone else with a half a brain, you know he was trying to do it. But what gets me is, how does Stone become the bad guy in this?
He was not wearing the proper equipment. You should be wearing that longer wrist pad.
The Kevlar arm protectors?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, think
it's like the Sens fans is coming back and like drawing fake blood on our face from when Eller got hit and booing Eller.
You know, like you can go back and look at Karkner when he beat up Boyle there when he went after Carlson.
Yep.
Okay. I didn't sit there afterwards and try to make Boyle look like the bad guy for getting punched in the face. He just, you know, he went after Carlson. He had to pay a price. But what Karkner did was wrong, except it needed to be done. If you follow me on that one.
Absolutely.
So you can say, PK is trying to help his team and whatever, but how does Stone become this baby whining guy with a broken wrist? It's like,
because
unbelievable. Like the Habs fans, the media.
Habs fans and the bias within the media, especially the Rogers broadcast, which are so blatantly biased. We'll get to that in a bit. But the bias in, especially in Montreal Canadiens fans, is they aren't logical. One only has to be at a game where they're there, where they're every time one of the, something happens to one of their players, including if it's self-inflicted, they're screaming for a penalty. Not because a penalty is actually deserved, but because they feel one should happen. Because they feel that something happened to one of their players. It's all emotion, no logic. They don't have any sort of actual grasp of rules and reality.
Yep.
They kind of know
really
the rules.
They're really the worst fan base for it.
They're very emotional. Now, that's partly a temperament thing,
yep,
which is cultural. But, you know, you can compare it a little bit to soccer around the world, where there's not necessarily a lot of common sense, but there's a lot of emotion involved.
Is that
mob
why they mentality. Chant Olé, then?
Yes.
Mm. There is like a mob Idiots. Mentality type thing that happens at Habs games. Like, they get into this fever. And really, it's like the logic goes out the window and it becomes hysterics. That's the whole every time a guy falls on the ice, everyone in the place stands up and screams. It's like, use your brains. The guy, it's not a penalty. You're following the hysterical crowd of where we've been wronged again somehow.
On to 50.
Yeah, on to 50.
Holy, you already finished that one?
I was thirsty.
Wow. But no. And
he's calming down.
I don't know.
I hate them. When I went into this series, like I said on our reunion podcast, it was fine for me if Ottawa didn't win this series. Because we've already been through such an amazing run. It's like we had playoffs already. But now it's changed.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask you that.
I agree 100%. If we were down 2-0 against Tampa Bay or Detroit, I'd have no problem with it.
Now, you know what? If we were down 2-0 and that slash didn't happen, we'd be fine with it too.
No, I still wouldn't be fine with it. I would be less upset about it.
I think
I'd be less upset. I wouldn't. I want to beat Montreal because it's Montreal. Like, I really, really want to beat Montreal because it's who they are. Yeah. Just like if it was Toronto.
I think it's the reaction of the fans and the media to that event has made me want to beat Montreal. So
it's a lot of hate.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
And sure. Of course, I'd love to see PK sitting on the sidelines from now on, right? Because apparently the league's not going to put him there.
Nope. They're not doing anything about it, which I just find league typical.
Even CBC or Rogers on CBC.
Rogers, yeah.
Was starting to poke fun of it. Healy talking about, I'd never heard of a microfracture before. I'm not a doctor, but we call that a bone bruise. And
they all accused him of faking. They were sitting there that night, like in one of the intermissions, Elliot Friedman, who's normally
the
voice of reason, you know, yeah. He's about the only smart guy on the thing. He's sitting there calling Stone a faker.
Thank goodness Kelly Rudy was the voice of reason in that conversation. You know, and went, you're totally wrong.
And
you
even Kyprios was going after.
Yeah, Kyprios is going. It's like Kyprios is defending a senator.
Weren't they talking about him in the warm-up, saying, look, he's got no shot strength there, guys?
He doesn't,
but he got two assists in the next game, which we'll get to in a minute. But I couldn't believe Elliot Friedman, who is normally fairly sensible, went off on that road. Which makes me wonder, what is the editorial direction that these guys are getting? Because I was elated when I found out it wasn't going to be Bob Cole.
And here we are wanting him back.
Honestly, I am. Yeah. I am honestly and completely wanting Bob Cole back because Paul Romanuk is the biggest homer. Like, why don't you just have, what's the guy who does the Toronto broadcast, the radio guy? The radio guy who does the complete...
I don't recall his name.
I can't think of his name, but why don't you just have him on? Like, there couldn't be any more anti-Senators, pro-Habs bias. I was actually listening briefly to... TSN 1200 was having some radio feed problems in Game 2. So for a while, they were putting on the TSN 690. Is that the Montreal one?
Yeah.
They were putting on the TSN 690 feed, so at least there was a play-by-play. They were less biased. than the Rogers on CBC feed was.
I wouldn't watch the intermissions.
I wasn't even.
There's no
I turned the TV off. I honestly turned the TV off. I cannot handle them. I walked can't. Away.
It's real bad.
So I just give me Dean and Gord. I know that they're pro Senators, but at least I can handle them. It was because they're objective about, you know, what's going on with the other team as well, and they'll be saying, oh, the Senators aren't playing very well, and they'll be honest about it. But I just can't handle the TV at the moment. I really can't.
I heard a guy on the Team 1200, and he was a Montreal guy. They had him in like on the radio or whatever, and, or so I should say on the phone. And he was saying that, you know, it's like, I think, you know, he missed half a game. He missed half the second and the third. I mean, I think that's good enough. It's like, he that was just knuckles. Tried to break his arm. No, it was another guy. It was I think it was like a TSN guy, but from Montreal. Okay. And he's like, oh yeah, that he missed a period and a half. That's a sufficient punishment. It's like, okay, so Mark Stone now, at the time we didn't know, so he could have a broken wrist. Even if he comes back, he's going to be less effective or maybe not effective at all. And you're saying because Subba missed half a game that, are you sure that's good enough? What about a 10 to injure?
Okay, so Alex Chiasson runs Carey Price, jams his head into the crossbar of the net, and Carey Price has to leave the game with a concussion. Chiasson's out for the rest of the game. He can come back in the next one, right? That would make sense then.
Well, what happens in another series now if somebody takes a two-hander and breaks a guy's wrist? Now do we suspend him? You can't now, right? Yeah. It's like you set the precedent it's that a two-hander 100 feet away from the puck is now worth no more than a period and a half of penalty.
It's game is the combat. Star clause in player safety. If they are a star, they get the benefit of the doubt.
Even though he's a star who's been fined for diving twice. He's a known repeat offender.
Oh, well, no. Diving, maybe. He doesn't have the benefit of the doubt, but...
Yeah, and that's a part that actually bothers me. It's that he won't get the repeat offender clause on him.
Well, he hasn't been suspended.
Yep.
So he won't... If he does it again, he's not a repeat offender. So he might get suspended, but probably won't because the precedent's been set that you don't get suspended for microfracturing. Well, you don't get suspended for a deliberate attempt to injure slash.
He did it again with Pageot. He had his hands up, choked up. And bam. Now you could say he's going for the puck, but who goes for the puck up like that? It's an automatic whistle.
He never touched him. The puck did. The linesman said so.
Yeah. We all saw the replay. And I'm an expert.
He's become the new Darcy Tucker.
He really has.
Yeah. I'm not going to deny his talent. He's a talented hockey player, but he's dangerous. And go ahead.
Don't finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say, it's like not only... It's not just the slashing. Like when he takes runs at people, always, 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 he leaves his feet. Every time he throws a hit, he leaves his feet. You saw it in game two when McCulloch was down on the ice. He is doing the MMA,
just punching him on the face,
forearm to the back of the head of a recently concussed Milan McCulloch. What happens if we do that to Pacioretty? Oh my God! Like you'd have CSI in there, right? So he's not just a jerk. He is now like a dangerous jerk that's going out of his way to hurt people.
I will say I have been watching him play since he was 16 and playing for the Belleville Bulls in the OHL. This is not new behavior. He has always been an arrogant and semi-dangerous to dangerous player, the way that he plays. And he gets away with it because he's a star. He gets away with it. Has he ever been suspended? No, he hasn't. So he's been taught that he can do this. If it was Eric Greiba throwing a perfectly clean check on somebody who happens to smash their face open on the ice, 3-game suspension. But PK Subban, no, it's okay. You attempted to injure somebody. You deliberately attempted to injure somebody.
Had nothing to do with the play.
Away from the puck. You deliberately attempted to injure somebody away from the puck.
Montreal doesn't see it this way. I tuned in quickly to the TSN 690.
690.
Friday before the game, just for a few minutes. And I heard the radio guys in a very calm and collected and rational voice bringing up the incident of Eller. And they felt that was a bigger deal than the Stone PK thing.
Well, of course they do. Would Toronto be any different?
Yeah.
Do you think Bob McCowan would give a rat's behind about somebody that Dion Phaneuf had broken their arm? No.
By the way, everything we're saying will just be called Senators whining. You
know, of course it will.
There's no fact in any of this. We're just whiners.
It'll be called Senators whining by Habs fans. Everybody else in the league is agreeing. Except
maybe not Leaf fans.
I actually have seen some Leaf fans agreeing with it. That's the weird part.
Yeah, they don't like Montreal anymore.
I was going to say, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So,
No, the key in all of this, too, is that the Senators didn't take advantage.
PK was out.
PK was out. We had a 5-minute major. Pacioretty's out.
We scored.
We let in a shorty.
A 5-minute major.
We let in a shorty.
Yeah, but we let in the shorty.
Yeah, they scored twice. We came up plus one. In.
This was our game to win.
Yeah.
Well. Out of the two that we played, this is one that I was disappointed, that, well, pissed. That
Ottawa's getting outplayed, yeah. I think.
I don't think so.
I do.
Oh, yeah, they are.
They've had periods where they're getting outplayed, and they've had periods where they're outplaying Montreal.
They can't.
But I think the tip is in the Montreal favor right now.
Big time.
I wouldn't agree with that, actually.
Like, I feel like they're clawing and they're being pesky and they're staying in and the games are close. Thank goodness.
I think game two, which we'll just get to in a second, game two, Ottawa had the first, Montreal had the second, and it was split in the third.
Can somebody, any of you guys even have a theory what this whole second period thing in Ottawa is about?
Long change? Discipline?
Don't know.
But doesn't everyone have the long change? What is it about the second period that turns Ottawa into, you know, a piece of crap?
Again, yeah, it's...
Don't know.
I have no idea.
Like, I don't even have one of Stooley's completely irrelevant theories I can come up with here. There's, like, nothing. I can't come up with any reason why these guys can look good in the first and third and terrible in the second repeatedly.
Unless they just burn all their energy in the first.
Where's it come from in the third, then?
And then you just have to catch up in the third.
That's where the adrenaline kicks in, because they're behind in the third. I don't know.
Three shots in the second.
Yeah, they were outshot 14-3.
We've seen this all season long.
Game two.
There was a lot of penalties being called against the Senators.
But they were deserved.
Oh, I agree.
They were deserved penalties.
I thought tackled a guy a couple times.
The problem is that some of the deserved penalties for Montreal weren't being called. That's where the penalties that were called on Ottawa in game two, which was a 3-2 overtime loss, I think they were deserved, because Ottawa was... I want to say almost taking shortcuts rather than, you know, putting all their energy into their skating. They were trying to not maybe use quite so much and trying to stick check and poke, stick poke and everything else. And they were getting called after call after call because they weren't working hard enough.
Do you know what I think the GOAT of game one was? Leguand. It was I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I won't.
I'll tell you why. In that 5-minute penalty, they're on the power play, and leg one got pressure right at the blue line. And his partner, I think it was Weirkosh?
CeCe
was about 5 feet away from him, and he was under pressure too. And instead of just taking the safe play and throwing it down in and dumping it in to let him pick it up, he passed it right into the feet of CeCe, and that was the 2-on-0.
But CeCe struggled all through that game. CeCe has been struggling in both of them. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Cody CeCe.
He's 20 years old.
He's struggling in both of these games. Big style.
Obviously, what you saw in the first game was how Montreal really pressured Ottawa's defense and caused those turnovers and those 2-on-1s and the breakaways, which they always seem to get against Ottawa. I don't know if they do it against all teams, but it seems every time Ottawa plays Montreal, there's a lot of breakaways and 2-on-1s. And
Pacioretty always gets 2 goals a game.
Yeah,
and always on a breakaway.
Then so, how did we win 3 out of 4? How did we win 3 out of 4 this season? 4-1, 4-1, and 5-2.
I don't know.
Well, this particular game, they cashed in on these chances. And was the difference, was the odd man breaks.
Well, their penalty, their power play, too. Their power play is good.
But game two, I don't think Montreal had very many odd man rushes at all and no breakaways. So obviously there was an adjustment had to be made there. And I think in the first game, the youth got a little bit surprised by that really tough pressure, and it caused a bunch of those turnovers. And that was a big difference.
Oh, they're young and hungry.
Young and hungry. Well, maybe feed them
a burger.
Yeah.
Jeez.
What were you guys' impressions of Hammond in game one of the 4 goals?
I think
he looked human.
He looked a little human. He didn't look superhuman, but he wasn't terrible. I don't blame. I mean, the shorthanded breakaway, I feel sorry for him, because he shouldn't be put under the pressure of a breakaway, number one. And I mean, he let that one in, but it shouldn't have happened first. It shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So
it all happened in the second, right? Four goals on him. So it's kind of like for this brief second, or this brief second, for a 20-minute segment, he looked shell-shocked to me. Well, I shouldn't say shell-shocked, but when that first goal went in, it almost like he started to show some nerves. Settled down in the third. They didn't score him in the third. They never scored him in the third. And looked okay, but he looked pretty average in the second, though, right?
He unraveled a little bit, but he, you know, got it back together for the third period, but the whole team unraveled in that second period. So I'm not hanging it on him, and I'm not.
No,
I'm really disappointed with the number of people I've been seeing. Oh, we got to have Anderson in for game three. Hammond's done. He's finished. Because everyone, if you go by what everybody on Twitter is saying, the people who should be sat for game three.
It's not just Twitter.
Hammond, Griba, Cece, Weirkosh, Stone, Chiasson.
No, whatever.
And Alexei Kovalev. No, I threw that one in.
Whatever.
Whatever. No, I don't see why daft. Hammond's getting questioned for.
He did make some killer saves.
The second game,
especially
he was really
second
good.
Game.
I mean, yeah. You're looking at the goals against and saying, well, Anderson would get that. It's like.
Oh, come on.
The defense was bad in front of him.
The second period was the undoing of this team in game two.
Are we out?
The shots were 14. We might as well be.
Sounds typical.
I mean, we were outshot 14-3, and they scored two goals because they had four power plays in that period?
Two.
In the second?
It was only two. It was only
It
two.
Seemed like a lot more than that.
I know. They had a lot in the third. I think they had four in the third.
Yeah. They had six in the whole game.
Six in the whole game, exactly.
And that last...
The thought one, I don't know how you call that.
The one at the end of the third going into overtime?
Not that one. The one before that, I think it was Eller. The second trip. Okay, the first one, it was a can opener. Weirkosh got his stick in there. The second one, he taps him on the hip and his feet and fly out from under him.
Yeah.
Dove. That was an absolute dive.
Like...
The McCulloch one coming into the zone?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that was such a dive. And yeah, people dive all the time, but when it's a Montreal Canadian and the referees know that, it's like you got to look and go.
They got to be watching for it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, the weird caution when you can't argue because his stick was in between the guy's legs. The other, I tap you on the hip. Why are your feet going out from under you?
Threw my balance off.
It's like, come on, guys. And yeah, the one at the very end that Mathot got the roughing penalty in front of the net because he had the guy down on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, sure, penalty. But it's a minute and a half left in a game, and we go back to Subban, did it to McCulloch,
yep.
Who's, again, concussion, just driving his forearm into the back of his head. No call.
Clark MacArthur took three headshots.
The last one late in the game where his helmet came off.
At the end of game...
Twice.
At the end of
Twice
game two... No, at the end of game one, sorry. It was the end of game one where it was that scrum at the end of the game. And, well, so if you look at social media, like Twitter, well, Stone was throwing punches at the end of game one. That's where he fractured his hand.
He was throwing it with his left hand.
He was tackled from behind.
That too.
Yep.
He didn't start this.
If I was in it with there too, because Price jumped in because we had six guys out, I would have just started feeding Price. Just feed him.
Well, if I was Stone, I would have grabbed the guy from... I would have reached behind, grabbed the guy's helmet, and then sat down on the ice to jam his jaw into the top of my helmet.
Well, unfortunately, you have a deep bone bruise on your arm, so you're not doing that. That's the thing.
Well, right? Use the other arm then. Something. But absolutely ridiculous. Oh, well, that's when he hurt his arm. It wasn't the slash. It was when he was fighting at the end of the game.
Full of crap.
And Hab fans know this.
Because they know everything.
Dr. Recky. I don't know.
Absolutely. I just wanted to throw in, you used the word expert a few minutes ago, and you almost used it in an Andy Sutton tone.
That was the idea.
Okay. Well, have I got a quote for you in an article by Wayne Scanlon today about Mark Stone and the fact that he was soldiering on to do his part for the Senators. There was a quote from Mark Borowiecki.
Oh, I like this one.
And what he said was, everyone's an expert from behind their computer screens, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, you use the word expert. We have a new expert quote. And it was just, everyone's an expert behind their computer screens.
Well, there's four of them sitting at this table right now.
Well, it's about time I get some recognition.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. expert quote. Anyway.
No, the key with all of this, though, is that the Senators have to take advantage.
That is true. It's like we could say all this is true, but what it comes down to, it's also this isn't the same team that played down the stretch. They're playing hesitant. I don't know if hesitant's the right word.
They beat Montreal twice in that stretch.
Cautious.
Once at the very beginning of it and once at the end of it.
First game, you can probably say playoff jitters, although I don't quite understand why they'd have playoff jitters considering the pressure.
CC's never played.
Yeah, but look at the importance of the games down the stretch.
But they've never been in the playoffs, and the playoffs are a different atmosphere, and they're in Montreal.
Especially Montreal.
I think maybe the atmosphere in the building overwhelmed them.
CC, Hoffman,
I think Hoffman had a great game.
Stone's played in one playoff game.
Yeah.
Chiasson's never played in a playoff game.
We all know what happens when MacArthur is in the playoffs.
Borowiecki's never played in a playoff game.
Lazar.
Lazar's never played in a playoff game.
Lazar was good. Those are some of the positives.
I just want JGP to get another.
They're one goal games at the end of the day.
Exactly. That's the other thing is they are one goal games. Like there are two losses, but they're one goal games, including one that went into overtime. So it's not like we're getting our asses kicked. It's just we're losing to a team that I really want to beat.
Yeah. And the unfortunate thing is Carey Price has looked very normal human.
Yep.
In these last two games, and you didn't take advantage of it. Now, what if he finds his groove?
I thought he looked really sharp.
Then we just have to Gallagher him. That's all.
Not compared to what he can normally do.
I think he's only made one spectacular save in the series. That toe save last night when the puck was going in. That was pretty amazing. But has he had to stand on his head? Not really. I mean, the goals that beat him were good goals and all that. He just didn't.
I think Montreal's done a good job of keeping Ottawa away from the front of the net.
Well,
Ottawa's not going in.
Yes. I would say it's more B than A. I think there aren't enough players going to the front of the net, which is why I was going to go in. We really hashed these two games to death.
I wanted to say,
what changes do you want for the next game?
This should have happened last game. Chris Neal should have been in and Chiasson should have been out.
I want Chris Neal in the next game for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, he will go to the front of the net and he's basically impossible to move out of there. Because he will get really nasty with anybody who tries to move him out, which is what we want. And number two, he will forecheck the living daylights out of Subban and Markov and Emelin, and he will also grab any forward who's coming up the ice and nail them into the boards. I honestly think we need that right now.
Probably draw a couple penalties against himself, though.
He may take a few penalties, but he will also draw a few penalties because he will be driving people like PK Subban crazy. And if PK Subban was to take a two-handed slash against Chris Neal, no offense to Mark Stone, Chris Neal would go, "You just broke one wrist, I still have another one."
Yeah.
And would drop his gloves and still pound PK in the face.
The thing with Chris Neal being in the lineup is with all the stick work and all the punches to the head and the elbows to the head, he would keep everyone honest in that game.
I think that too. He would reduce some of that because they would know as soon as he steps on, you've been doing that, so guess what? You're getting some from me. And they're not calling it. So I am going to punch you in the head.
Chiasson in an overtime game played 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
But the fourth line didn't get much time either. Leguan got a lot of power play time, but he wasn't on much other than that.
Oh no, Leguan didn't play much either.
What about Hoffman? Did he get to play
Leguan
much?
Got nine. Hoffman
got some time.
12.
He got some time with Zibanejad and Ryan.
And late in the game, he was getting a lot of time. I guess because they needed the offense.
They needed the scoring.
I was actually talking with some friends about this last night. Nobody's saying that they should go out and start slashing people and start, you know, taking stupid penalties. And Chris Neal's been in the playoffs long enough to know where that line is. You know, he's not going to be the kind of guy that's going to go out and do something ridiculous. He'll punish them, but he'll do it just this side of the line, right?
He knows where the line is.
Yeah. But I think maybe what happened last night was that Ottawa might have stepped back a little too much.
Yep.
Because, you know, Cameron had his remarks after the first game about, you know, so because they were under the microscope, they had to be very careful. But did you feel like Montreal had a really free ride last night?
I felt they were the more physical team.
Yeah. I would say up until late in the game and into overtime, Ottawa really didn't throw that many hits last night.
Other than the ankle biter line.
Just completely.
They were pretty effective, but
Lazar, Pajot,
and Condra.
And Condra were at least making their bumps.
But
that's fine.
It's you just lost your top scorer to their star player, who basically served no repercussions for it. They didn't lose the game. He didn't get suspended. So nothing happened, but now Mark Stone is not effective. Although he got a couple of assists, but he's not what he used to be.
Yeah.
So they got away with it. And because Ottawa didn't retaliate, which they can't illegally, but to me, it's like Pacioretty should have been hit every single time he got on the ice. And back to your point, there should have been somebody standing in front of Price, little elbow, doing a Gallagher. Like, Gallagher does it every shift he goes out there. He gets right in a goalie's face and bumps him just this side of a penalty. Yeah.
After the whistle, he's lying on top of him.
Falls on top. Why isn't that happening to Price? Why didn't Pacioretty get hit 30 times last night? You know, here's McCulloch and Grizz, both coming off concussions, taking headshots last night. Basically, Montreal is being the aggressor here. And Ottawa
is being the bitch.
They didn't respond.
I think it goes back to, I think the team is suffering from what Eric Greiba and Jared Cowan have been suffering from, which is, if I play my game, I will get penalized for it. Eric Greiba threw a completely clean hit. He gets suspended. Earlier this season, Jared Cowan throws a clean hit and gets suspended. And the whole team, I think the team as a whole is going, the officiating is showing that they can get away with stuff and we can't. So if we play the way that we made our way into the playoffs by clawing and playing everything, we're going to get hammered, which is why there were 6 power plays. Now, some of those, I'm not saying that those power plays weren't justified because Ottawa wasn't playing hard enough. But I think they're afraid of playing the game that they need to play because they're afraid of getting penalized for it, and they're taking stupid penalties instead.
I just don't know if you have the right players in to do that stuff.
Which is why your point about Chiasson coming out. Because if Chiasson's not on the ice, would anybody know? Like, seriously, the guy does nothing.
Yep.
You know, so put Chris Neal in, and I'm not saying Chris Neal's going to get you big goals. He might get one or something, but he's going to make...
At least clearly.
Off his ass, it'll go in.
He's going to make those other guys keep their heads up. And he's going to... And the thing is, he's infectious, eh? The other guys... They see Chris Neal going in there and just driving someone. It's like, yeah, I want some of that. The other guys are going to pick it up too. That's what I felt like last night. There was nobody leading the charge to make Montreal pay for what happened to Stone.
What about Phillips? Draw him in.
I honestly would. Because that third pairing
is he healthy?
I don't think he's skating.
But he's not healthy.
He's not healthy.
No, he's not.
Now, you could... somebody else threw out the idea of maybe you bring Cowan in for his size, but I guess the team as fast as Montreal, they just burn around him all night long.
Well, if you bring him in, who are you taking out? Weirkosh?
Is he right side? No, he's left side, right?
He's left side.
So Greiba. You have to take out Borowiecki.
I'm not taking Borowiecki out.
I'm not taking Borowiecki.
The only Greiba.
It's the
other side.
Other side. The only left defenseman you could take out to put him in is Cody Ceci.
No, CC's a right side. You're thinking Weirkosh.
Weirkosh, sorry. You have to take Weirkosh out.
I'm not taking Weirkosh
out. No, I'm not taking Weirkosh out because he's better than CC is. Yeah. Absolutely not.
And say, I think that Cowan's speed would just be a... Yeah, he hasn't played in so long. He would be... Any kind of physical ability he brings would be a detriment. You know?
Montreal's too fast for him to come in.
Yeah. But I guess that comes back to the... You know, Ottawa maybe doesn't have that... But they're not big enough. They're not nasty enough, but they did play that way. Like, when down the stretch, they were like ferocious, especially like the ankle biter line, and they were all over these teams, but I haven't seen it in these two games.
Yeah, I don't get
it. Well, I thought the third line's played great.
Well, they have, but the rest of the team isn't doing it.
No, even that line, like Lazar to me has looked like his first playoffs, which is understandable, but he's not, I don't think he's been playing great.
Well, he got mugged by Emelin to the point he ripped his helmet off and was lying on top of him when the play was already over the red line.
So almost got that smile off his face for a second. Just for a second.
There we go. It comes back to Montreal's instigating
and not getting penalized.
And so if you're going to take a penalty for tripping him, the guy's going to dive. You might as well take a penalty for throwing an elbow into the chops, right? Because it gets to the point where it's like,
I'm going to get penalized for something. I might as well get a result from it.
But the thing is, if the refs are calling you for elbows and stuff like that, then they're going to be a little bit hesitant about calling you for the chintzy stuff because it's like, oh, we've already got 6 penalties on them. Maybe we're not going to call that dive. So in other words, make your penalties worth it, you know? And Montreal's just, they went for a skate last night, if you ask me. They didn't pay a price.
Mm-hmm. Is Bobby Ryan, does he have a healthy hand or what?
I don't think
it's
so.
It's not his hand.
What's going on? He's skating fine.
He looks like Mark Stone. Mark Stone is having trouble shooting. I think Bobby Ryan is having trouble shooting. I think there's something wrong with the finger that he broke. That's never healed properly.
But he has goal in 23 games?
I've got a feeling that is his hernia.
You think it's reactivated?
Back. Well, then take him out and put in someone else.
I just balance him out with Hoffman is really the right thing, but he's got no strength on his shot.
Well, he barely tries to shoot. Like, no. He took one shot last night, and it was a wimpy little wrist shot.
And that's his game.
Yep. I think he's hurt. Like, I guarantee you he's hurt. He's not a player like that, just doesn't disappear for no reason. Yeah. He's hurt. He just doesn't want to see it. What it is, if it's his hand, his hernia.
Well, if you
we'll see what it is.
If it gets out, what his injury is, then the people can exploit it.
Exactly.
He's got a hurt hand. Oh, great. I'll slash it harder.
But is it to the point where he's so ineffective? Maybe there'd be somebody else better off out there.
We don't have anyone.
Zach Smith would at least throw a hit. You know?
Shane Prince.
Take a gamble. Yeah.
But he's just not getting anything done. He's trying.
I did like Prince.
When he was up here, we were at... Was it the game I was at with you or with you that Shane Prince was playing?
Yeah.
I think it was the game where Leonard and MacArthur got hurt. He looked fantastic in that game. He was everywhere.
I know he wants to try, but I think as a coaching staff, you got to look at his games and go, what's he really contributing? The way he is right now, would it not be at least better to have Smith in there running up and down the wings, driving people, standing in front of the net, you know, something?
I would agree, except the games that Zach Smith has played in the last while, he wasn't physical. Now, I think that was partly because he was trying to play with Colin Greening, and Colin Greening was playing on the right wing and thinking he was a left winger. So it turned out that almost every time they were on the ice together, they were both on the left-hand side.
I don't, you know, that's up for the coach to decide, but you've got to look back and say, well, you know, you don't want to lose Bobby Ryan's offense. There is no offense.
Don't worry about Greening. Yeah.
So
no, there's still a good amount of offense.
From Ryan?
Not from Ryan. But from the team, it's not bad.
Yeah, your two top goal scorers are AWOL right now. Well, since they AWOL, but, you know, Stone is not going to be what he was.
And again, when you think of it as one goal game and an overtime game, Stone being healthy.
And Bobby Ryan being healthy, but he's not.
Yeah.
So do you throw in anybody in there who can get something done? You know, a forechecker, somebody, Prince?
Yeah. It's changing nothing. And then this is the other thing that I didn't understand what Cameron is doing is you can't threaten to bring in Chris Neal, say that you're bringing in Chris Neal, and then not bring in Chris Neal.
It's hard on everybody.
Then you're just causing noise and distractions, and it's not good.
Is this going to change in game 3 now that they're home? We'll now see they tomorrow. Got the crowd behind them?
I think that'll help.
I think it will make a difference.
Because we said all along, no matter how they come home, even if they're down 2-0, which they are, that game 3 is going to be insane.
People love this team.
Yeah.
I think it'll make a difference. I hope it makes enough of a difference.
I'm there. I'm glad I don't have to listen to the CBC.
Honestly, that's almost worth the $300 to get in now.
Is that what it is to
priceless.
Get in now?
Oh, probably. Jeez.
So you're at the game, and you're at the game as well?
I'm there!
But all right.
I've got a mute button.
I'll be probably listening to it on the radio. I don't think I'll be able to handle the unless I can find the NBC on the NBC Sports. If I could find that feed, because it might be Chris Cuthbert. Cuthbert's working for NBC Sports, so we might be able to find him.
By the way, it's still terrible beer. Sorry, man.
Would you like a different flavor this
time? No, I'm good, thanks.
It's very good beer. I disagree. Cuthbert's doing NBC, hockey for NBC, so it might be him, or it could be anybody, but it could be anybody else other than Roman. It can be an improvement.
Again, the NBC broadcasts, their national ones are fantastic. I don't know what anyone
I'll have to look around.
They're good.
I know this is going back to what we were talking about half an hour ago, but last night, it was like a 3-hour fellatio fest on PK Subban.
It really was.
All you guys forget he tried to break a guy's hand last game? He was like that. You would think he was
in his
Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, his pregame interview.
He loves the spotlight.
Yeah. But it's just and like they were treating this guy like a god.
Romanek is from Montreal. And Strombolopoulos is a huge Habs fan. And Rogers is looking to boost ratings any way that they can because they lost so much money on advertising during the regular season when the Leafs were sucking. So they're trying to do anything to get as many Habs fans as they can to watch.
I really wonder what they're going to do to change for next season.
Hope the Leafs are better. The end. They're not changing anything else. You know they're not.
Besides that slap shot that he scored on, did you find that PK was such a dominating force last night in the game? No.
Oh, yes, he was. He was absolutely. He was around everywhere. He was throwing hits, and he was taking lots of abuse, and you should see what's happening to him away from the cameras. You don't even watch the game. You don't know.
I thought he was very average, except for that goal. That was a howitzer.
And that was a power play goal.
Other than that, I don't think he stood out. And like, it's literally, it was just they went down on him for three periods.
Of course they did. He's the star. He's the star. Erik Karlsson could get a hat trick. He's still not as much of a complete player as PK Subban.
What's wrong?
Well, he doesn't play on the penalty kill.
That was brought up. Karlsson.
Even though I'm pretty sure that's...
He was playing on the penalty kill last night. Next question.
I know.
You guys find Karlsson's been a little AWOL the last couple of games, too?
Well, no, he came back out game two a bit.
He had some rushes.
I think he's got a groin injury. It's a groin or thigh. Which is why it's not.
Have these guys just expended too much on that miracle run?
They might have hurt themselves, like just completely exhausted themselves getting into the playoffs.
Montreal's a top team too, so it is what it is.
I was of the opinion that, you know, Karlsson was missing those game days just because he plays 4 hours a night. But it's, yeah, I mean, so far in this series, he doesn't seem to be his same self. Like, he's not... He had a couple of rushes last night, but I don't see him jumping up the way he was. And but
he was missing game. Well, there weren't off day practices, but he was even missing morning skates during that run. And he was still as fast as he was all the way through that run.
Now, not so much.
He still wasn't overly stellar in the last 10 games or so.
I don't know. I thought
solid,
he was pretty good.
But stellar. It's not himself.
Last night he was a little better. First game, I thought he was pretty invisible.
Or is it the league kind of knows? Like, Montreal knows, okay, if you want to shut down Ottawa's power play, you shut down Karlsson. Don't let him. So you focus your energy on that and screw him up.
Our power play is bad enough. You don't need to focus your energy on Erik Karlsson. You can just focus your energy on the power play, and you'll pretty much solve it.
You want to talk about a good power play? Sadly, it's Montreal's looking great.
It's a very good power play. It's well coached. I have no idea who's coaching ours now.
Again, too passive, I thought, last night on the penalty kill. I mean, obviously, Montreal's power play is PK Subban, Markov, with the big guns, right?
Big surprise.
So, what? They got way too much space back there. You look at Montreal, they just charge at the defensemen and cause those turnovers.
Yep.
Ottawa's just giving those guys way too much room.
Yep.
On to? You're looking at me? Well, I wonder.
You're the leader.
Boy, are you in trouble if you consider me the leader. Overall, we've already talked about broadcaster bias, and we've already talked about raging against the Habs.
It's typical! Montreal typical!
That's where I was going, actually. I was going to say, I had 3 points on this, was what's causing my rage. Number one is broadcaster bias. Number two is just the Habs in general. But number three was the officiating that's been going on so far. That it's been so...
Round one-ish. Welcome to round one.
It's been completely random, but I don't want to use the word biased, but it does seem to be slanted.
Carey Fraser's having a great old time replying to people.
Thank God for Carey Fraser.
There's been an awful lot of things that should be penalties that are not being called, but only by when they're being done by one team. And I'd like to think that I'm not saying that as a Senators fan, but it really does seem that way. There's an awful lot of things that should be called that aren't being called.
I don't think we lost these two games based on penalties, though. Didn't get any favors, but...
If they were calling it evenly, that would be different from the way that it is now.
Well, I think what you're seeing is what's always been the case is... You know, you talk about the players go into the forum and get intimidated. So do the refs. It's always been that way. I mean, I was a Bruins fan growing up, and I used to watch the Bruins going into the old forum.
And, well, that place was a zoo.
Well, Don Cherry said this once, too. He says, going in there to play a playoff game, it's like you were starting down 1-0.
Yeah.
Because the referees, the second penalty last night, when we talked about earlier, the trip on Eller, the trip. That was the fans that called on. The ref was standing right there. The crowd screamed. He put his hand up. They get intimidated as much as the players do. So yes, I think the crowd is probably worth a couple of penalties a game because the referees are probably, God, if I call this, the place is going to lose its, like, lose its mind.
Then why? I've been trying to watch at least a little bit of social media and, you know, website commentary on articles and that sort of thing. Why isn't that happening in MSG? It's the Penguins playing in Madison Square Garden. Why is the ref? Why am I not seeing complaints about refereeing in Madison Square Garden?
Didn't watch that. I can't comment on that because I didn't watch the game. I'm just very familiar with the way Montreal is.
Oh yeah, I agree. But
also,
I mean,
I think the league is also pushing for the Rangers. So
over the Penguins?
Yeah.
No.
This year? Yeah.
But then shouldn't Penguins fans be complaining? Penguins. And I just haven't seen any. I honestly haven't. And I went looking for this earlier today going, well, why is it not happening anywhere else? At least that I can find. And that's what I find truly, truly strange.
I don't know how to... It's
anyway. Every fan base thinks they get stiffed.
Yeah.
But
we actually do. That's the bottom line.
Again, I think I've always just gone back to the referees are intimidated to call penalties against Montreal in form. Again, why does Mathot get called in the final minute of the play for that penalty when Piqué got away with it earlier in the game? It's much more difficult, or it's much more important that a minute left than it was
Mark
beginning
Mathot's
of the period.
Not a star
right?
player.
Yeah,
there and you go. It's not his home barn. So we'll see how it will. I think Game 3 will be very, very telling.
Yeah.
I have a little trepidation over that, but I'm also hoping that it becomes a little less tilted ice, a little bit more even.
If this series is all the home team wins the game, I think it'll
all except game seven.
Well, yeah.
The visitors win game seven.
Oh, but didn't you hear about five times last night that Montreal is 85-5, went up 2-0 in a series, and Ottawa's never come back?
Yes, they have. That was on.
No. Roger said they haven't.
On the radio, they did. And it was against.
Like, they were down 2-0 to Montreal a couple of years ago, were they not?
No.
They weren't? Not necessarily.
No, because we won that one in five. It was Pittsburgh. In 2015.
Sorry, my bad.
Pittsburgh.
I've been retired, so.
I don't know how I remember this stuff.
That's okay. We can move away from that series just momentarily, if
Please,
you like.
Because I'm just getting angry.
Okay. Well, Binghamton's season's over.
Is it?
It is.
Yep.
Get Shane Prince in here.
But we do still have a couple of prospects playing in the CHL playoffs because Tobias Lindberg had an assist on the game-winning goal for the Generals.
The guy we got for Bishop, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Oshawa Generals are on to the OHL Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, that's pretty good considering the Bishops only played one playoff game in 2 years. So we win that trade.
Well, that's not bad. but he's looking
turd
okay.
Polished.
you do know they played this afternoon, right?
Yeah,
that's a one game that he's won in 2 years. Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's because he wasn't playing last year. He was out hurt.
Formalities.
Okay. Nick Paul and the North Bay Battalion are up 3-1 against Ben Harper and the Barrie Colts. The game's starting right about now. So possible elimination tonight. We'll have to see. And Matt O'Connor will be in Ottawa, I believe, this weekend.
Tomorrow,
yeah. Matt O'Connor being the goalie for Boston University.
Yeah.
So we could have another goalie prospect if we lose Hammond. We might get him in. Have to see.
Is Hammond? Oh, keep going.
Well, Hammond's a UFA. So
I was going to ask, do you think Hammond is the flash in the pan? Can't see nods on radio.
Pan?
I don't think
he's... I've been saying it the whole time.
I wouldn't call him a flash in the pan.
He's running on hot.
I think he's a serviceable backup goalie.
He just had an amazing run like Halak did in the playoffs a few years ago.
Halak is...
Yes. I think Halak is probably a better goalie. Alex Auld, Curtis McElhinney. You know, he's a serviceable backup goalie.
Alex Auld can go on runs and then be terrible.
Would I take him over Robin Lehner? That's the question I have been tossing over in my head for the past 2 weeks that I do not have an answer for. And because I can't say yes or no, I honestly don't know.
Because Anderson is 34 years old. If Anderson was 28, 29, I think it'd be a different situation.
That doesn't enter into it for me.
Oh, really?
Nope.
Because Anderson's got only a couple of years left.
No, I think he'll play past 36. I would say he's probably got four.
How many goalies do you see at that age? Outside of Dwayne Roloson.
And Brodeur.
I think he'll be able to play up to 38, 39. Mm. At least 38. So that's 4 years. But that I don't see that as a reason to keep Robin Lehner over Andrew Hammond.
It's too early to tell.
I agree.
You've only got a couple months to make a decision.
Exactly. But. Well, that's the thing is like, yeah, it's you're always in that danger with the goalie that catches fire out of nowhere. Is it a flash or is he just hit his stride?
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, you can't just let him go now. I mean, he's set a record. You've got to keep him around to see if it's real or not. And if it isn't, then you move him along or whatever the case is. But you can't just let him go. So where does that leave Leonard Anderson? So I'm not saying that he's going to be our new number one forever. He might just pull an Andrew Raycroft, right, and disappear. Mm-hmm. But you've got to know before you let him go.
Yep.
So something's got to happen.
He'll get himself a one-year contract. I'm assuming that we're going to sign him before July 1. Too.
I would be hesitant to signing him to more than one. I'll be honest on that. I would sign him only to a one-year contract. I wouldn't sign him to a multi-year deal.
You go free. I don't know enough of the marketplace, but he
probably wouldn't take that.
He probably wouldn't take
so,
that.
So
it's his chance to cash in, right?
And so, far be it for me to say
it's going to absolutely be a one-way contract. And then if you give him a couple of years, that'll be fine.
But what if what if you let Leonard go and he becomes like another washout, and now you've just stuck with Anderson, right? You know, so it's risky. You know, it's really, really risky.
Yep. Which is why the whole Matt O'Connor signing will be interesting because if Matt O'Connor was signed, he would automatically be the number one goalie in Binghamton. He's not NHL ready.
No.
But
that's true.
If he was down there, that gives him a chance to become possibly the goal.
I think there's more attractive areas for Matt O'Connor to go.
Than Binghamton? Oh, come on.
Well, there could be, but there may not be
because the amount of teams that are looking at him.
But the chances of him actually getting an NHL contract from any of them?
Outside of
Edmonton. And I mean, quite frankly, Edmonton, if you were Edmonton, would you rather sign Matt O'Connor or Andrew Hammond?
Take them both.
Andrew Hammond would be would be a perfect fit in Edmonton because they've tried every hot at the moment goaltender in the league over the last 5 years, and they just keep ringing him out and sending him off.
Briz Gatlov is awesome.
Well, Gerber was out there too. Like, they've gone to about 17 goalies that had their moment, and then they killed them all.
And Devan Dubnyk leaves there and becomes indispensable in Minnesota. Except he's looking a little human. Was it yesterday? Last night?
It's the City of Champions out there, guys.
Yeah, they're taking that down, apparently.
I know.
How funny is that?
We're on the topic, right? So next game, what do you do with your goaltenders? Do you stick with Hammond?
Stick with the one who brought you to the dance.
Yep. He got us into this, so I mean, I will stick with him to the bitter end.
Unless he gets lit up like 3 goals and it just doesn't look right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Fine. Yeah, exactly.
You do that in game 2 if it happened. So.
Do you think he played bad?
It's not that he played bad, but matter of fact, he made some amazing saves last night, but you could also look at just about all the goals last night and say,
yeah,
you should have had that one. And when it's kind of weird when you're saying the guy's only allowing 2 goals in regulation, that's normally pretty good, but those 2 goals were kind of stinky, and the overtime one was stinky. And
that was Greiba.
It was a turnover, but still, the puck went right through his arm, you know, and he was mad at himself for missing it too. So it's kind of like he plays great, then he allows kind of a softy. Then he plays spectacular, then he kind of lives in a softy.
Did you eat your hamburger?
No.
Did you?
Yes. Pants?
Okay, just checking.
I had one yesterday.
Made me feel terrible.
Had a double hamburger.
Though. I haven't had a hamburger in a long time.
I had a 2-patty hamburger.
No, it was game 2. You got to go 2.
Had hamburger helper.
You're having a triple tomorrow,
I'm having a triple tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then a triple bypass?
Yeah. Does hamburger helper count?
Finals with like 8.
I actually had hamburger helper about a year ago. I saw it on sale somewhere. I haven't had this since I was a kid. I tried it. I know I remember why I haven't had it as a kid.
Hey, with cheesy shells, and you know, who knows cheesy?
It was horrible. It was so salty.
You are what you eat?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like,
I'm a shawarma.
Anderson comes in. Maybe he's rusty, but maybe he catches fire. I wouldn't be worried if Anderson came in. But it's the thing about the Hammond thing is like he doesn't seem quite to have that magic he had before. Like the softies are starting to go in, and that didn't happen during the run.
We
haven't really felt the pressure yet because we were only down one game.
I think maybe I'm kind of like, who said it? You know, like very short leash on him. Start him game three, but if he doesn't look good.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. I'm really split. Like, I think I'd be fine either way, but I'm just worried that magic seems to be disappearing a bit.
You know, regardless, Cameron's not going to be able to win that decision.
Oh, no. He can't.
No.
That's why you're better off staying with what you got.
He has earned it. There's no doubt about that.
A few years ago, the Binghamton run where they won the Calder Cup, it was Barry Brust. Barry Brust. And the fans loved him. It was like a hamburger thing. It's like, in Brust we trust. It had the t-shirts and everything. They got to round one. They lost the first three games.
And Leonard went in.
Leonard went in, won the next four, round two, round three, round four.
But if they go down 3-0 and you bring in Anderson and you really think there's any chance of the coming back four straight. Maybe, but well, I didn't think there's any chance of making the playoffs.
One margin
either,
of error, though. So,
I say you can't win when you. Well, you can't win, can't lose either way, I suppose. Right? So,
exactly.
Will there be a brawl if the score gets out of hand?
You'll be there. You'll like it.
I hope so.
Well, that's what Chris Neal's for. Now, if Chris Neal, Jared Cowan won't be in the game, and Matt Cassian won't be in the game.
Zach Smith probably won't be in the game.
Should be in the game. Put Leguan.
I would not trade Leguan for Zach Smith. Absolutely.
Really?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
Because Zach Smith can't play on the power play for number one.
Neither can Leguan.
He stands for
more power play goals than anybody else on the team.
Yeah, but he's been sitting on that number for 5 months now.
True. Still has more. And he has better face-off numbers than Kyle Turris these days.
Yeah, you know,
Kyle Turris's face-off numbers are terrible.
This is like baseball now.
Yeah,
I keep hearing about that whole thing with the, you know, Leguan's got the most power play goals. Yeah, but look at our power play. It's not like it's great with him.
Oh, it's not
horrible.
But I don't think Zach Smith is going to improve it.
No, he wouldn't. That's for sure. But maybe having somebody else out there more would.
And Leguan is also pretty serviceable on the penalty kill too, which Zach Smith I don't think.
If you give me one roster move, it's Neal in and Chiasson out.
Yep, I'll put that one.
I think everyone's
a biggest shakeup. I think is just the fact we have home ice now.
I think that will be a difference. But if that is the big difference, and we can win, especially if we can win both, which would be nice, I think that will carry over to going back to Montreal.
Yes, it will.
Oh, if you win the next two, absolutely.
And the good thing is that Ottawa has not played their best game for sure yet.
Yeah.
If they don't look like the team that was in the stretch, so they can still find it. But I don't think Montreal can play much better than they have. Carey Price can, I think. But I don't think the team can really play much better. I think they've played pretty good.
They're good hockey, but I think Ottawa can certainly raise their game to get to match it.
And it's only one goal both games, right?
Yep.
So, again, I don't think Montreal's going to have a 7-goal outburst, but I think Ottawa can turn it around. So.
Were there any other series you wanted to talk about?
Winnipeg-Anaheim.
I didn't see it.
I wasn't up. I was just...
That's a late start.
I heard it was a hit fest.
Oh, my God.
Those are two of the biggest teams in the league.
There were like 40 hits in the first period. I think, actually, they're playing now, if I'm not mistaken. I think they started at 7:30 tonight. If I'm not mistaken,
they're playing an afternoon game out in Anaheim. Tonight.
Oh, is it?
Okay, 10 o'clock tonight.
Maybe I got that
Rangers
wrong.
Rangers play at 8.
Oh my God! You know what I was thinking watching that game was that either Montreal or Boston probably wouldn't survive two periods with those two teams playing. Like, it's like you talk about, you know, Ottawa needs to hit more. Like, oh my God, it was insane. It's just.
Like a Pittsburgh-Philadelphia hit fest?
Worse.
No, this is much worse.
These guys
are big.
Massive hits, but the nonstop.
Thing is, yeah, and against Pittsburgh, or comparing this to Pittsburgh-Philly. The thing is, they don't get mad that they're getting hit.
Because
it's like hockey play, get up, go, and go and hit them back.
It's just two giant teams trying to prove to the other guys that they're tougher. It's unbelievable how violent it was.
I cannot wait for them to get back to Winnipeg.
Oh, in Winnipeg, it's going to
be something else.
So is the game at 10:30 start?
10:30 tonight.
Okay, good. So
on TV.
Watch it. Stay up and watch that game.
In Anaheim or in Winnipeg?
It's in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm just trying to stretch this out so that we get the
the draft results.
Well, I have a couple of subjects we can talk about. We have some firings that have happened recently. So we can stretch this out for a few minutes talking about these. Now, Buffalo fired Ted Nolan and several assistant coaches, which I'm not surprised about, but he's totally not to blame for that team doing badly.
No.
The person to blame for that team doing badly is the GM, because he ripped it apart and tore every good player and threw them away.
Except for the fact that that was in his mandate.
Well, it was his mandate, but...
So he nailed his job.
Well, he did, but he's not... You can't blame Ted Nolan for the fact that the team didn't do badly. Did badly.
Tim Murray just gets to build his team now.
That now, you know, this thing is, that's why he was there this year, because Tim Murray didn't want to hire on a new coach and then fire him at the end of the season and start it over again. Says, we're going to suck this year. We're going to tank. So let Nolan coach. Doesn't matter. But yeah, when we get all our draft picks, I'm bringing in my guy.
Yep.
So that's all it was. And I'm sure Nolan knew that, you know, so.
Well, yeah. Philadelphia fired Craig Berube yesterday. That one I was a little surprised about, since he's only been 1 year or 2 years. He hasn't been there very long.
I believe 1.5.
So yeah, they missed the playoffs.
Vinny LeCavalier gets his wish, because earlier this year he said, well, yeah, either he needs to go or you need to trade me, because this just isn't working out.
Awesome.
Mr. LeCavalier, perhaps you haven't noticed the team's been trying to trade you for a year. Nobody wants you in that contract.
I understood that he was actually going to stop after this year, too.
Who?
LeCavalier.
Stop
and
what?
Retire.
Really?
Yeah.
With money left on the table?
I was going to go to Toronto.
Duh. No.
Along with
Vincent
Babcock.
LeCavalier going to Toronto.
Along with Babcock.
I don't see that one happening.
Straight up.
Well, speaking of Toronto, they fired everybody.
Yes.
Discuss. I think it's hilarious.
I don't know what the parking attendant did to deserve getting fired.
Well, the cotton candy guy, I don't get it. Why did they fire him?
Because they suck.
I think it will be very interesting to
see. Shanahan better know a lot of scouts.
18 scouts?
I think, yeah.
18 scouts?
Let's stop and think for a moment. Well, what experience did Brendan Shanahan have before he became the president of, it's only the Toronto Maple Leafs, not MLSE.
Yep.
So what experience did he have before that?
Being friends with Wojtek Wolski.
Well, he says he's a good guy.
Yeah.
So he's been the guy in charge of player safety. What else?
And how he did a hell of a job didn't he?
But what other executive or semi-executive experience does he have? The answer is nothing. Nothing. So they bring him in, and he cleans everybody out because he wants to bring in people more like Dubas and Hunter, and who knows what else is going to come in. He's fired everybody who's not his, so now everything that happens from now on is on his head. He can't say, well, they're the old regime, or this is something I was stuck with, or this is something that's from before.
Organizationally, that's the right thing to do, though.
But the pressure is going to be huge. If Toronto doesn't make the playoffs next year,
but what's consistent here, regardless of what's happening with the player personnel, the media is still there, and the fans are still there.
Well,
the media is going to be a circus, and the fans are going to be wanting to spend. So it's the same.
Well, that's where it's going to be fun.
These guys on their reunion episode went through it ad nauseum, you know, the whole schadenfreude of this organization. We're reveling in it, but it's just ridiculous.
Even for Toronto, in a half century of misery, this is colossal, what's happened this year.
Oh, it's been epic.
And the thing is, one interesting thing is that I guess Shanahan said, I have a model, and the guy we're bringing in, he has to fit into that model. So right away, you're telling your GM that you're kind of not going to have autonomy. Like, you have to come in and do it our way. So you got a guy like Pete Chiarelli or something like that who's, you know, okay, well, like, I want another job, but geez, if I got to go in there, I've got to play by their rules. I can't do it my way. Yeah, so
it's going to be the same situation for him that what he had in Boston.
Could be, yeah. So it's like,
are you just going to be a yes man?
It's basically what you're saying is that the GM has got to come in and be Shanahan's yes man, because I've got to do it Shanny's way. I can't do it my way. So right off the bat, you're eliminating a lot of guys who don't want a GM like that.
Well, it's going to be a GM by committee, because he has to report to he has to agree with Dubas, or Dubas and Hunter have to agree with him.
Yep. So right off the bat, you're probably eliminating a lot of good GMs because they won't work in that environment.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ray Shiro would be another one who would probably say, no.
And the coach is the same thing. Coach is going to have to come in and coach within Shanahan's vision, not the way he wants to coach, right?
Paul McClain. Get some little friction going between the mustache and the upper management there.
Oh, again?
Maybe. Oh, that'd be epic.
It would be epic.
Imagine that. Talk about...
Because he won't take crap from upper.
Well, that's why he won't get hired, though.
Yeah.
I just don't see them going, no. Then again, they did take Martin Gerber. So you never know. You never know.
All I can tell you is that no matter what they do, it's guaranteed to fail because they are built on an ancient burial ground. They're cursed. And that full fan media thing, that's not going away. That totally affects the operation of that team is the media and fans.
It really does.
Absolutely.
It really does.
Why do you think Kessel hates playing there? Well, I mean, Kessel would probably hate the media anywhere, but there was no way he was ever going to get along with the media in Toronto.
Especially the questions he gets asked.
Yeah. I even felt bad for Phaneuf. Me. Guys asking Phaneuf, are you embarrassed to be losing like that?
I'll just take my $49 million and go home to my hot wife.
The media and the fans are always going to be a negative
Joffrey,
pressure.
What
on
are
that.
You doing here?
Oh!
I thought it was Patrick Sharp.
So yeah, that's not going away. So
it's that TSN trade center thing, right?
Yep.
I love it. I love the fact that those unbearable fans are part of the problem with the organization that'll never change.
But that's what makes it so much fun for
these
the rest
unbearable
of us.
Fans may have their wish come true soon, though.
Yeah, that would just be the Router.
Oh. Yeah, but they'll wreck them.
Well, they'll wreck them like they've wrecked every other topic they've had.
Yep. Whatever they touch, they destroy.
Here's a question. Actually, Steve Warren was asking this on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking it to Sens fans. What would you rather have? The situation right now, we're down 2-0 in the first round, or it'd be in a lottery position?
Oh, this for sure.
I'd rather have this.
This.
Yeah. Because we had the emotional commitment and...
Just the experience that these guys have gone through.
One step down from winning the Stanley Cup was that run to get into the playoffs.
No one outside Ottawa will get that, I don't think.
No.
But we get it.
You had to go
Absolutely.
Through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely we would. And no, I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it.
Halfway through the run, I was kind of like of the opinion, because I still didn't believe they were going to make it, and I was of the opinion they were going to be, we're just pulling a leaf here. We're wrecking our draft pick, and we're going to fall just short of the playoffs. But as it went on, the team was so inspiring, and it was so exciting that it was like, yeah, you know what? Even if they don't make it, this is better than tanking. I'll take that ninth place finish because it's so much fun watching these guys. So I kind of flipped and flopped on that one.
So you're
like
consistent.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But you got 2 months of entertaining hockey.
Playoff hockey.
Which you bought into fully. Like it was the long shot that you just couldn't believe was actually happening, and you were expecting it to end and expecting it to end, and then it didn't. And
we're not dead yet.
Exactly. And it was that was better than a playoff run.
It was better than a lot of the Sens past playoff runs.
Yeah.
That ended in disappointment. So
I'm all for it. Now since we're talking about draft picks or lottery picks and so on, I found two articles this week about possibilities to fix. I mean, I know that it's changing next year as to how the lottery works. And there was one interesting one, and I have to give full credit where credit is due. This is from a writer from Post Media, so National Post and so on. And his idea was, it's a two-part process. And it's every year, the top three picks in the draft are determined by 100% non-weighted draw of all the teams that don't make the playoffs. But... the stipulation is if you get one of the top three picks, you're not eligible for another top three pick for 5 years. So it's all of the teams that don't make the playoffs have an equal shot at a top three pick. But if you get one, you don't get a top three pick for the next 5 years.
Meh.
And I stopped and thought about it for a few minutes and went,
I think you're going to run out of teams.
No, because you're not going to have the same teams that are not in the playoffs every year. You're not.
LA.
Hello, Boston.
Edmonton.
Hello, LA.
Two.
There are other teams that make the playoffs in and out every year. Toronto made them briefly. Ottawa's made them some years, some not. Montreal didn't make them a few years ago.
No, I'm looking at some.
Detroit never gets a pick.
Too bad. Detroit doesn't need one. Let's be honest.
Yeah, true.
I'm not sure about that one because I don't know all the ins and outs of how it will work. But I'm thinking somebody mentioned that maybe the draft should be reversed in that. Was it?
The Cardinal
was one that I brought.
Was that your idea or did you? Was that your own idea? Or did you hear it?
I came up with that idea myself, but I've actually seen it in a couple of other places since then. That the teams that are closest to making it but not making it, they should draft first,
Or they should be weighted first. Because that completely takes away any incentive of tanking, right?
Well, I agree. And the problem with tanking is that it's not the players that tank.
Yes, it's the organization.
It's the organization that tanks, and that's why. I mean, the players always want to win, and that's why. They're trying to win, no matter how bad their team is and how much their front office has screwed them up. Look at Buffalo. Buffalo had fans that were cheering when the opposition scored. I mean, the team was still trying.
Yeah, because I didn't do that this year at all.
I was never on Team Tank. We can go back and check that.
No, it does make it harder for the bad teams to get better because they're not likely to get the best players out of the draft. But at the same time, they're not going to probably end up being quite as bad as they would have been because they're not going to jettison all their players, right?
It also means that it's an incentive to teams to improve their scouting.
Yes.
Because it's been proven, not only by Ottawa, but by Detroit is, of course, the epitome of this. You don't have to draft high to get good players. You can get them and you can develop them. Putting the money into a farm system that actually develops players rather than going, oh, okay, we got a first-round pick. Let's put him in the NHL right away. We need him. Edmonton has proven that doesn't work.
It's an interesting concept. There's probably other angles to it that, you know, maybe it wouldn't work because of this, and then you'd have to hear somebody who's an expert on it to figure it all out. But it is an interesting concept because it eliminates any point in tanking.
Well, that's the point of this particular concept. It was an article that was actually in the Welland Tribune a few days ago. But it eliminates the big reason for this being something that I like is because it takes away the concept of tanking completely. Yeah. It doesn't make your team have a better shot at getting a high draft pick.
I think that would freeze up trading, though.
It would freeze up trading?
Yep. People wouldn't be trading.
Well, that doesn't...
That's the only flaw.
That's not a problem. Because that means that teams have to be better through the year. They can't count on teams sucking and wanting to suck further to make themselves better at the trade deadline.
Because
that's what they're counting on now. Oh, well, you're going to be out of the playoffs. I'm going to cherry pick a couple of your players because you want to tank to get a better draft pick and I want to be better. No, that means I have to be better throughout the year. I can't depend on that.
Yeah, that's a good point. But at the same point, it does take away just from a fan's perspective, because people like trades and the media likes trades.
All the more reason for teams to try harder. So it would make trades more important because everyone's trying.
But no one would be willing to do them.
You're going to see a lot less of the good players from the bottom teams, just kind of like what Ottawa did a couple of years ago when they traded off everybody, right?
You'll see more trades. You'll see more hockey trades. You'll see less pending UFAs going to a contender. You'll see more actual trades. Okay, my team isn't doing well, and you want this player?
I don't even know if they'd want to move their depth, guys, depending on who they are.
Hard to say.
It would make it harder to rebuild your team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like when Ottawa got rid of Fisher, Kelly, and all that, it's like they probably wouldn't have done that. They probably would have held on to those guys. And would we have all the young blood we have now? It would make it a lot tougher to rebuild your team.
Well, that was a decision that was made as a rebuild. That was a rebuild decision, not a tanking decision. That wasn't a tank decision. That was a rebuild decision. And if a team is honestly trying to rebuild, then they'll still do it.
It was a little bit of both. They knew that doing that, they thought doing that would drop them down the standings, but as it turned out, came in and played really, really well. But
thank you, Craig Anderson.
Yeah.
No Gabriel Landeskog. Sorry, Stuart.
It is an interesting concept, you know, and it's... if somebody out there has some thoughts on it, it'd be really interesting. Like, to hear what's the downside of this, you know? Because it does seem like it's got merit. Yeah.
Well, I've just been looking for different possibilities because I'm so sick of this whole tanking thing. I've been annoyed with it all season. I don't like the concept of it. I don't like rewarding institutional failure. That's the bottom.
Imagine being a Buffalo fan.
Get off your phone.
Like, why should I buy season tickets, you know, if you're a Buffalo fan?
Well, what's the incentive? I agree, 100%.
You sell it to Toronto fans, so they can come watch.
You honestly, I would probably have taken the year off.
Yeah, because you know it's what's happening. So why am I going to go watch a team try to lose or an organization try to lose for 42 games at whatever that costs, you know? So,
well, ask Toronto that question. They've been doing it for years.
Well, that's different. You know, that town's got a little bit of a poison gas thing that clouds their brains.
Nice.
The big smog, right?
No, they're not known as that for nothing.
So instead of next year in Jerusalem, it's next year in Toronto? That's their mentality? Oh, you go.
Yeah.
What?
It's got to be some kind of an inside joke, but...
Well, I recognize the comment, but only vaguely. What was
fucking
it?
Leafs.
No.
Oh, I'm kidding.
There's so many fans.
There was something this afternoon that you mentioned just before we started recording. Can you remind me, please, why was Bob Hartley fined $50K?
Oh, yes. That was player selection, apparently.
Oh, last night?
Yeah.
Oh, that was kind of
player
funny.
Player selection.
So he was fined $50,000 for sending out goons?
Eglund.
Mm.
Yeah,
who? Agoon?
Yes.
McGrath.
Apparently, there was a big rumble at the end of that game.
Big rumble at the end of the game.
Okay,
that was fun. I was watching.
Dorsey
that.
Got two fighting majors and two game misconducts. Eglin got three game misconducts. It's like, I don't know how you get three game misconducts.
What do you do? How many people's arms did you tear off to do that?
It was a real good brawl.
I wasn't dirty or anything. I don't know what started it either.
I was just the temperature of the game boiled over at the end when they knew that it wasn't. There was one guy for Calgary was running around too, like a young guy. He was running around all game. But I got to admit, I was watching that and I had to admit that I was thinking, God, I wish that was Ottawa doing that to Montreal. Yeah, I
know. Let's pick it at the end of game one.
At the end of the game.
Yeah.
That's what we need. Now, Shea Weber is out for the next two games in the Nashville-Chicago series. Read that earlier today. So that series is tied 1-1. And Scott Darling, that's a kudo to TVA from earlier this season. He's going to be starting the next game in that series, apparently. No more Corey Crawford.
TVA, speaking of.
Yes.
Quite the backhanded slap he gave you guys in our intro.
Backhanded bitch slap is what it was.
It's like, I'm not letting these guys go without... The call-up's a good slap while I'm at it.
I think it was down in the grubs. I was kind of bent over afterwards after that one.
I was laughing. It's like, ow! Because he knew it would hurt you.
It's okay. We'll still have him back on.
It's like, I'm stabbing you guys, but here's one for you.
Here's a little shiv for those guys over there.
You got shivved.
Ouch.
That really was a great intro, though.
Oh, I laughed.
He's a pretty funny guy.
What's he do for a living anyway?
Mortician.
I've run out of things to talk about when we haven't seen the results of the draft lottery yet, so we don't know.
Prediction for tomorrow. Also, less predictions.
We'll start with you then. You brought the subject up.
I'm going to say 6-2 Senators.
Oh,
6-2.
He just put the balls on the table. Wow.
There it is.
Just one. Can't lift them both at once. Come on, they're huge.
14-inch hammer. You should see the size of those two. Pan, your thoughts about tomorrow? You're going.
God, I need this game. I really want this game. I'm going to say 4-1 Sens.
Ooh, there's a common score from this year. Yeah. Do you do predictions?
Well, I was going to say 4-1 Sens.
Oh, there you go.
So, you can do that. Now, I think Ottawa bounces back. I think the crowd helps. I'm hoping Neil's in and gives them a little spark to get their legs going a little more and get them a little more violent, a little more physical. Not dirty.
I really hope so.
Just
physical.
Let's pound those guys and make them feel it. And I think that's going to pay off. I think Hammond starts. Mm-hmm. And cross your fingers, he finds his magic, and you took my 4-1, so I'll say 4-2.
I was going to actually say 3-2. I don't think it's going to... I think the Senators are going to... I think they will bounce back. I really hope Chris Neal is in, as I said earlier.
How many overtimes? Because I got to work the next day.
No, it'll be 3-2 in regulation.
Okay. 4-2 Sens in overtime.
It'll actually be 3-1, and then it'll be 3-2 late in the game. 4-2 in overtime. Is that one of those goals that goes in so quickly you don't see it? It comes out, bounces off Price, and goes back in again?
Wait, are you telling me that it's unlikely? Then this team can do it.
Can't say.
Do you think PK will get booed tomorrow?
Jesus.
I hope not. Oh. I honestly hope not.
Come on,
not.
He's getting booed.
No.
Because you can hope all you want. You're going
to
hear it.
That's a crappy fan thing to do. Cheer your own team. Booing the other team, that just means you're acting like a Leafer or you're acting like a Habs fan.
Or you're acting just like a fan.
You're acting like a fan.
Fan.
You know what? He's deserved it. The part that's really driven me nuts about him was...
The jumping.
It's the jumping, but remember, I think it was last year when he scored in overtime and just started flashing the logo to the fans.
In our building, yeah.
In our building.
No, he was doing it to his team. No, you weren't. You were sticking it to the fans is what you were doing.
You were sticking it to the fans.
Who else does that in this league?
On that goal, none of his teammates went over to celebrate with him. He had to go and find them because they didn't go over to him.
The whole slash thing?
Oh, that's changed now. He gets a kiss now.
But the thing is, what? They will boo him like crazy. There's no doubt about it. But the thing is, he thrives on stuff like that.
That's the reason I don't want it to happen.
You need to ignore him.
Exactly.
Effective.
Don't give him any credit at all. Don't pay any attention to him.
I think, Sens have to go after him in a clean way. Again, no penalties. But he's the kind of guy, he's a hothead. You keep going at him. You keep picking at him. He will retaliate and he will take penalties because he's selfish.
Chris Neal, run him on the forecheck and PK will dive. What could be better? Then Chris Neal taking a good clean run at PK with the puck in the corner, and PK dives, gets a penalty, and gets fined.
Chris separating his shoulder with a nice clean hit.
Oh,
that would be nice.
I like your thinking.
And going after Pacioretty. And again, clean, go after him. And someone's got to get in Price's face and annoy him. Pagel. He's my guy. Pagel's just got to get in there.
He really gets to him.
Yeah, he is a little bit of an instigator. He's the kind of guy that can piss off Subban as well.
A little bit of a run at Price. Not a really hard run, but as he's covering up the puck.
Just go for the puck.
He's covering up the puck, get in there and lie on top of him.
Just like they do to everyone else. You know, the old, oh.
I'm a little unsteady on my skates because you pushed me. Oh, I happened to fall on his head.
I don't know how this is happening.
That's a visual joke, but it works for us.
It's just like Gallagher does, you know. Gallagher is he's the expert at, you know, Greiba's here. He's 2 feet in front of your goalie.
Gets in between them.
Gallagher will run into Greiba, and because he's 5 times as big as him, he'll bounce off him deliberately into the goalie and make it look like, well, I got hit by Greiba. Same thing. You got to do the same thing to Price.
Pajot would be the perfect player to do that, too.
Yes.
Because he's smaller, but he's also feisty enough to, you know, run into Emelin or... Subban. Yep. I mean, you can't do it. Markov won't be there trying to clear you from the front of the net. So it would have to be Emelin or PK Subban or somebody like that. Okay. I like it.
Pick at them. And again, Subban is a selfish player. He will lose it if you drive him nuts.
Oh, yes. He does. He has a very, very short fuse and he goes a little crazy if somebody's infringing on his ability to showboat. That's for sure.
Yeah. And like if Cameron says, you don't want to chase him, but when you get the chance, you've got to take advantage
Finish
of it.
Finish it. Yeah. Finish the hit on him.
Yeah. Finish him.
Finish him.
Thumbs down.
Yes. Thumbs down. Anything else?
This still isn't in. This journey, no.
Okay. Well,
folks, they'll milk that for another half an hour, I'm sure.
Folks, you can email us at podcast@senscollops.com. Contact us via Twitter. Join our Facebook line. Facebook line? Our Facebook group. Anything going on with that lately? Nope. I don't do Facebook, so I wouldn't know. The online forums, the game threads for the playoff games have been pretty fun so far. So... if you're full of rage or you're just going a little crazy with the announcing or whatever's going on in the game, join the game threads and there'll be others of us there probably feeling pretty much the same way. Or if you're feeling really, really annoyed, you can always call the waiver wire at 844-SEU-6565. You're looking at me like you had something to say.
6565. I see what you did
there. Very intentional.
Yeah, very clever, isn't
it? This whole picture could be closed the next time we have a recording.
Nope.
Shut up.
Not going to be.
Get out!
What's with the negative waves?
Oh, I'm just saying, we're not going to record on Wednesday because the game.
Can't say. Maybe we're recording again tomorrow night because it's an emergency episode.
Why can't you say something beautiful and righteous?
See, I understand that quote.
I don't.
It's from a movie called Kelly's Heroes.
You guys are old, though.
Watch the movie. You'll get it. It's great.
Is that in color now?
Hey, baby, I don't know. I just drive them. I don't know what makes it work. As the saying goes, the show's not over till it's over, and you're not in trouble till you lose in your own barn, and it's time to refocus and commit to playing as a team. However,
we don't have a fat lady that sings.
If that doesn't work,
not in our arena.
If all those cliches don't work, I wouldn't mind a little bit of retribution on the diving, whining, gesticulating slasher.
Gesticulating.
Who, like at least one other defenseman who's still on an active NHL roster, deserves to see what a little deceives to see what it's like to be on the receiving end of some of the crap that he pulls. I didn't make any veiled comment there. Not at all. I really hope we have better subject matter next week, but one way or the other, we'll be back. Russell, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was great. Now I'm going back into retirement.
I'm Cardinal on behalf of Pan and Canuck. Thanks for listening, everybody. Good night.
Later.
See ya.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
He's a lumberjack and he's PK. Whose wrist will he break today?
I make dumb plays, I whine and cry, I dive until I'm fined. You say you want to fight me, you better get in line. But I won't drop the gloves now, unless you're undersized.